I appreciate that so close to the sermon we sang of the Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts, and that's certainly my, and I hope our prayers as we open scripture, that God will, by His Spirit, will be present in our hearts as we reflect together. I want to thank the praise team. I always feel a bit nervous as a guest preacher entering a special season like Advent, kind of coming in for this in the middle of your series. Inevitably, when there's praise team, I just get caught up in worshiping God, which is our whole purpose of being here this morning. So thank you so much for your leadership this morning. So we will be reading from Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11. And my hope is in this sermon is to bridge between the prophet candle and the Bethlehem candle as we reflect on this passage together. So the word of Isaiah begins here at verse 40 with these words, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on the high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice and shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, for a moment, I just want to ask you to consider, what are some items in your life that you turn to bring comfort? I'll just give you a moment to think. On those really tough days, what are those items that bring you comfort? We all have comfort items, comfort activities that help us to feel better, especially at times when we are feeling down and lonely, when we're feeling downtrodden. For instance, in my house, I have an absolutely favorite multicolored knit afghan from my great-grandmother. She gave it to me when I moved across country as a young adult. And that, wrapping up in that afghan with a warm cup of tea is something that gives me comfort after a hard day. And when I think of families in the hospital that I work with, there are comfort items everywhere. For children, they often come in with their favorite stuffy. Mom or dad are sure to pack their favorite blanket or their favorite toy to come in with them. I often see crosses and rosaries and braids of sweetgrass bedside for families as well, these religious spiritual items that bring comfort when their child is in the hospital. We have these comfort items, but we also, I think, have comfort scriptures. We have scripture passages like this one from Isaiah that speak words of comfort to us at times of distress. Before I go into the Isaiah passage, for many, Psalm 23 speaks of great comfort, especially as life draws to a close. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. The psalmists in general offer much encouragement and comfort at times of great difficulty. And often when I'm visiting with a patient in the hospital and I know that they are Christian, that's one of the things I will ask them. What is a scripture passage that brings you comfort? Or what is your favorite scripture passage? Because oftentimes that favorite scripture passage is one that does indeed bring them comfort. Well, here in Isaiah, when the book of Isaiah is half finished, and when all these, what you need to know from before chapter 40 is there's been all these harsh judgments against the people of Israel. And when these judgments, when this time of judgments comes to an end against Israel's sin, and when after the pronouncements of this imminent exile that is predicted for Israel, it's at this very moment when all of that has been said, all of that is ringing in their ears, all this despair is surrounding them. It's in that very moment that Isaiah turns on its heels and offers comfort. Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. This is a dramatic shift here from judgment to grace. And while a time of going into exile is predicted, a time of coming out of exile is also predicted. But it's into the depths of this darkness and gloom surrounding God's people that God offers these words of comfort. And in all of this, God is powerfully and gently telling the people that they are still his people. Come what may, all of this that's happening, even being sent away into exile, they are still his people. The first words of comfort in this passage, they might be really easy to miss, but it begins with my comfort, my people, my people. In doing so, God is reminding them that they're not just some people or people I used to know and care about. No, they're still my people. And in doing so, God reminds himself and Israel of his covenant promise to be their God and to keep them as his people. By calling them my people, God is saying he will not turn his back on them. He is also saying that their disobedience is not the end of the relationship. Yes, there is punishment for their disobedience. There are consequences for their disobedience, but it is not the end of God's relationship with them. Like a parent comforts a child after speaking words of discipline, God here speaks words of comfort to his people. There is discipline for the people of God. And, you know, I'm just thinking this in my head, and it's a little too light to do as a parallel to the exile, but it's a bit like when parents send their kids to the room. You know, like it's like I said, it's a bigger deal than that for a whole nation to go into exile, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to invite your child out. You're not going to stop loving your child. God's relationship with Israel is based on more than discipline. It's based on grace. God promises to be with them and to be in control of their time of discipline, their time of exile, and God graciously promises to bring it to an end. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her time, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. For the sake of God's grace, he forgives Israel's sins and restores her to a right relationship with him. Now, the history of Israel that we know through the Old Testament is a history of drawing close to God and then wandering off to serve other gods, to seek the approval of other nations. And our own Christian walk in itself can be filled with times where we draw closer to God and times when we wander off and become distracted. We too have our own times of disobedience. But through it all, God is in control of his plan to bring God's grace into the lives of his people. The comfort of his grace is that it will not ever, ever be overcome by our disobedience. We wait upon the Lord for his grace, and we do our part to prepare for its arrival. Advent is a season of waiting and preparing. We remember Israel waiting and preparing for the Messiah. Isaiah captures this in verse 3 and 4. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for your God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places plain. Now, I don't know about you, but this is very poetic language, but what comes to mind as I think about that is I think about construction work. I think about making roads, making places plain, building roads through mountains, making things level. Oh my goodness. If anyone works in construction, you know that that is a ton of work. This picture vividly describes making this clearing for someone that is important, someone like a monarch or ruler. And it's intensive work. It's purposeful work. Now, I'll admit that waiting and making preparations isn't always our most favorite thing to do. But when our waiting and making preparations has a purpose to it, there is something festive to it, like preparing for a birthday or preparing for a family wedding. Well, here, the people of Israel were waiting and preparing for the one person who would make God's grace complete. The people of Israel were waiting for a king who would come to them and who would rule with justice and grace. Today, we claim that king as Jesus, and we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We celebrate his birth among us. We stand in awe of God, drawing so near that we could reach out and touch him. And now, today, we join Israel in that sense of waiting and preparation. For us, we are waiting and preparing for the day when Jesus will return and his rule will be complete. Amen. Our comfort comes from knowing that Jesus now rules in heaven and that his rule on earth will be complete. One day, the glory of God will be revealed to all people and all people will see it. The people of God journeying towards Bethlehem and the birth of Christ, they were journeying and we are journeying towards Christ's second coming, but not as a baby, but as our King and Lord. For both Israel and us, there is a deep sense of waiting, preparing, and longing. And as I was reflecting on this part of the sermon, I found myself wondering if we often think that preparing is the hard work. You know, that's the rolling up your sleeves and getting things done to help bring God's kingdom in. And that waiting is something that's more passive, something that we're just kind of sitting on our hands, waiting, not really sure what to do. But then I thought a bit more about the work that I do in the hospital with families, and families who sit throughout a whole long day waiting for their child to come out of surgery. Families that wait day and night for a very important test result. And those families, sometimes they'll turn to me and they'll say, I don't know why I'm so tired. Like, all I'm doing is sitting here waiting. But you know, that kind of waiting, I think that kind of waiting is work. That is hard waiting, to stay in that space, to hold that space of waiting and not being in that place of knowing or having those results. Waiting is hard work. Our longing in this season is not passive longing. That longing is filled with purposeful hope. Our preparation is not so much what we can do to make Jesus come faster, because really, do any of us really think we can make Jesus come faster? Not sure. But our preparation is to hold on to and actively hope, pray, and orientate our lives towards Jesus coming, towards his return. Amen. It made me think of hope as being like a muscle. And muscles, I learned this the hard way by breaking my leg a few years ago. If you, and I had to sit and not move, not wait on my leg for 2 months, my calf went from being like this to being all sprawled up. Our muscles need work. And hope is like a muscle. It needs exercise. Especially in times when hope hurts. When hope seems impossible. When hope is dancing with despair. While there is comfort in knowing that the Lord has come to save us, and while there is comfort in knowing Jesus will one day return and make all things right, we still live in a world filled with much abuse and pain, darkness and sorrow. And as Isaiah looks ahead and sees all of this in Israel's future, as he sees their and our struggle to hold on to hope, he speaks these words of comfort that may sound strange to our ears. He speaks of us, the whole human race, as being made like grass. Now, how can being compared to something as insubstantial as grass be considered a sign of comfort? How is being reminded of our frailty, our shortness of life, an assurance to us? Well, when all in life is going well and all in life is fine and we are feeling strong and healthy and in charge of things, this doesn't seem like such an assurance. But when we are being persecuted, when we are feeling powerless to change our circumstances, when the powers that be seem too strong to overcome, there is comfort in knowing that these things will not last. As Israel enters a time of exile where her captors rule over her with a cruel hand and there will seem to be no end in sight, there is comfort in knowing that even these powerful rulers in God's eyes are like grass. They will have their time of flourishing, but they will not last. They will come to an end. For those today who live under oppressive rulers, for those who have been brutalized in civil wars and conflict, there is comfort in these words. You know, I just recently had a conversation with a mom whose child is palliative and is in so much pain. And when I asked her that day what her prayer was and what her hope was in that day, she said, "I just want this nightmare to end. I just want this to end." And we've reflected on how you get to a point where you want all of these things that happen over and over again, all these illnesses, all these tragedies, all these deaths, you just want them to end. And not just in that moment for your loved one, but for everyone. You just want it to end. Still today, no matter how powerful the enemies and oppressive rulers may seem, their time will come to an end. There's also peace for the person facing one more conflict at work, one more round of arguments with a family member or a close friend, one more time at a loved one's bedside, having to face the enemy death. Because all of these will come to an end. All our conflicts and strife, all our harmful and shameful ways, all that is death and dying will one day come to an end. In contrast, what will last for all time is the Word of God. The Word of God will stand forever. God's Word speaks of His relationship to us, that speaks of our created origins in love, that speak of God's plan for salvation. In the midst of our lives, with all the people and things that come and go, God's Word remains true and present. We take comfort in the steady presence of God's Word. No matter how turned around our lives may become, God's Word is our compass, pointing us back to steadfast love. the people of Israel could count on God's steadfast love to save them and gently lead them. Verse 10 in our text shows the Lord coming, God coming in might to save his people. And verse 11 shows that the Lord God as a gentle shepherd who cares for his flock, carrying its lambs in his arms and gently leading the mother sheep. These two verses held together so richly convey the richness of God's might to save and God's gentleness in leading his people, especially God's most vulnerable people. Israel's comfort and ours comes in knowing that God, this God, who is mighty to save and gentle to lead, this God is the God of the Isaiah, the prophets. This is our Jesus of the Gospels and the New Testament letters. And this is our God that we remember and proclaim through the season of Advent and always. You know, there are days when we need God to be our mighty warrior, to save us from our enemies, to save us from our fears and worries. There are days when we need God to be our Savior. And then there are days when we need God to be our gentle shepherd, to gently lead us through difficult times, to comfort us when we grieve, to carry us when we are vulnerable and hurting. Israel's comfort and ours comes from knowing that this is indeed our God, who is mighty to save and gentle to lead. For those of us who are grieving during this Advent season, and I understand part of the reason I am here is that Pastor Brian and you as a congregation had a funeral last week, and that is part that those events get tied up in our season of Advent, our season of preparation. For those of us who are grieving during this Advent season, for those who are anxious about test results and worried about our health or the health of a loved one, for those who are struggling to put one foot in front of another, to trust that there will be a better day, Isaiah's words speak comfort to us, comfort that comes from knowing that our God saves and our God shepherds his people. My prayer is that we are surrounded by that comfort this morning. As we travel towards Bethlehem, may this comfort be both our peace and our proclamation. Our text reminds us that God's people are called to be heralds of good tidings. As we experience comfort, we are to share that comfort with others. There is a world surrounding us right outside our doors and beyond that desperately needs to hear the good news that our God saves and our God shepherds his people. God's salvation plan brought us our ultimate shepherd, Jesus Christ, who we confess shepherds us each and every day. Our ultimate comfort is found in Jesus. We are called to share this good news with one another and with the world around us. We are called each and every day to confess our comfort and our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is mighty to save and gentle to lead. And we do this every day, every Advent, until Jesus returns. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I'll invite our praise team to come forward. And we will sing some of these beautiful words from Isaiah, from our Psalter, Comfort Now, My People.